You are tuned into Adventist World Radio, powered by SID Media.
All right, it's time for us to connect with our elder, and we're going to be talking about family traditions with Christian values. Elder Semalambo joins us for this conversation. Now, family traditions are more than just routines, right? They shape our identity, they reinforce our values, and they bring families closer together, at least they're supposed to. And in a fast-paced world, Christian traditions provide an anchor, reminding families of faith and love and of God's presence in our daily lives. So how can families create and maintain meaningful traditions that actually reflect our Christian values? My elder will be answering this among many other questions. Good morning, Elder Semalambo. Thank you so much for joining us this morning.
Thank you so much. Morning. And morning to everyone as always.
Yes. Thank you so much for joining us this morning, Elder. Please speak to us about some Christian family traditions that can help to strengthen our faith. What could some of those be?
Okay. So this is quite a very good question. And there are quite a number that we can look at. For example, one of the things that we know is common among our Christian families that have a vibrant spiritual relationship with God is that they have family worship.
Right.
So there are times when the family will gather, either some are able to do it in the morning, the family members would be woken up, then there's prayer that is held in reading of God's word, or sometimes even in devotions, where families gather together to be able to discuss the word of God and share their personal experiences and their faith as well. Then sometimes families can have come together where they gather over a meal and share a few things that can help to build their personal and spiritual lives as well. So to mention but a few, those are some of the ones that are quite common among Christians. And sometimes for families that are Sabbath keepers, you'd find on a Sabbath afternoon, a walk would be taken in the woods where the family reflects on the power of God's love, wisdom, and might, reflecting on what God has created. And children can be taught about the designer of the design that we see beautifully put at play in creation. So those are some of the family traditions that we have that are passed on from one generation to another.
And so how do those traditions, these small everyday traditions like prayer before meals, that weekly walk on the Sabbath afternoon, family Bible study, things like that, how do they build a strong spiritual foundation? How do they go beyond just being a routine that, you know, the kids know, the family knows that, yeah, we meet every morning at whatever, 6:45, and or at 7:30 in the evening we meet, but it's not really a thing. How does it go beyond just being a part of the routine?
Okay. Number one, one of the things that families must take time to focus on and to do is to show the value of the importance of some of these activities. Number one, we know that family traditions and values basically shape and influence not only our faith, but also our practice, our behavior. So in the context of their influence, that importance must be kept constantly before people. So what that means is that as the interactions are taking place and the like, the person that is being worshipped, who is, or the being that is being worshipped, who is God, must be foremost in what is being done. And everything that is associated with God must be of a holy character. So what that means is that this must not just be merely routines that we are doing, but they must be regarded with the importance that they deserve and with the influence that they have on our faith in actually our practice. And that is why if you see even the experience of the children of Israel, God time and again would say, when you talk about, for example, God's law, you would say when, if you're looking at books like Deuteronomy, in the book of Deuteronomy chapter 6, the Lord our God is one Lord, and he would give instructions that God's law should be repeated to the children of Israel. So there would be a tradition that is passed on where God's law would be read as they would be sitting down, as they would be standing about, as they would be going about the activities of the day, so that the principles of God are certainly kept before them. So that had a bearing because they knew that this was not just merely an activity that we will do, but it has got an influence on our spiritual lives. So how vibrant also one's spiritual life is dependent on what kind of traditions they have adopted and the practices that they actually engage in.
Beautiful, beautiful. I love that. And so why would you say it's important to pass down faith-based traditions from one generation to the next?
Okay. Now, we know that there are many voices that people can listen to.
Yes.
And these voices, like I've said, basically affect how people behave, how they relate with other people, the impact that they have on society as well.
Mm-hmm.
So to put things into perspective, one thing that we discover is that when it comes to family traditions and their role in the family, they not only shape practice, but influence faith also, but they affect how we relate with others. So how we are going to fit in into society amidst the negative influences that exist depends also on the influence that we receive from these family values that we are talking about.
Mm.
So now to put things into a context a bit, we know that we are living in a world that is fallen, and there is a controversy that is at play that borders around a dispute of God's character.
Mm-hmm.
Whether God is loving, whether God is righteous, whether God wants those that are his created beings to enjoy freedom. There is an enemy that is fighting God, who is the devil. Now, because of these evil influences that are taking place around the world, there is need for an influence that counters these influences that are around the world. Now, for that to take place, people must be taught, people must adopt certain values, things that they hold as important to them, so that amidst these negative influences, they can still exhibit and demonstrate principles that are biblically shaped, that are biblically sound, that are biblically founded.
Mm.
And that is the place that family traditions, which actually must be shaped and influenced even by scripture, the truth as it is in Christ, and even biblical principles, must come to the fore and at play. So these values are very important because the kingdom of God needs to be extended. Influences that are good need to be exhibited, and evil must be overcome with good. And that is why these values are very, very important.
Yeah, yeah. And I feel like it's so important when you pass down those traditions and you yourself value them and you teach your children the value of them, that encourages them as well when they have their own families, when they grow up and have their own families. They are encouraged to carry those forward as opposed to if they were just doing them because that was just part of the family routine. When it's something like that, that's easy to fall off. Once I'm grown and I've got my own home, I don't have to follow the same rules and routines unless I actually valued them. So I feel like if we as parents instill those values and instill not just the values, not just the routine, but also why it's important and make it such an integral part of the child's life that even once they've left the home and they've gone to start their own homes, they still carry those forward. And I think that's one of the ways to make sure that happens, to carry these traditions from one generation to the next. Now, how can families adapt traditions to modern life without losing their Christian essence? Because sometimes that's kind of the place where we get stuck between, especially for carrying traditions from my grandparents, and they lived in a completely different world from the world that my children are growing up in. So how do we adapt these traditions?
Okay, that's a very good question. Now, I must begin by saying that principles do not change, but application of principles is what can be able to change.
Yep.
So we live in a world that is dynamic. There's, for example, rapid increase in technological knowledge, technological skills, technological values, for example. So even things around us are changing. So what that entails is that we must still maintain the principle, but we can still, for example, change the application of the principle. So let me be more practical. So for instance, if families are in distant places and they cannot have a family gathering, a physical family gathering,
yeah,
what can be done is that you can still organize for a meeting through Zoom or mm-hmm. through Google.
Mm-hmm.
So you still achieve the same principle of meeting,
yeah,
so that you can be able to cultivate the social elements in your nature, but you don't actually physically meet at a venue because of maybe constraints in terms of the distance, maybe in terms of finances and the like, but you still have that gathering and you can still go through over the values and the like. So this is how we can embrace some of these changes that are actually taking place, and even technology can be used to our advantage. For example, if we are only used to reading the Bible without some pictures, if we have an opportunity, you can get a projector able to beam something as we share something. Mm-hmm. Pictures are able to be seen, videos are passing and the like. More senses are involved in the learning and a teaching process, and there is better interaction with the material, and people get to become better with time as they interact with the materials. Yeah. And they're like, so some of these things can still be adopted. Mm-hmm. So one need not stick to some of these things to say, some of us were used to only hard copy Bibles and the like, so we can't use the soft copy ones, yeah, so we can't use a projector.
Yeah.
We're only used to chats and the like,
mm-hmm,
because people can still adapt to some of these things. And the principle of learning and going through the values and all these other principles that can still be achieved. So this is why I actually hold this as very, very important,
mm-hmm,
even as we do our meetings. And by the way, I love the point that you brought out where you said even after children have left home, mm-hmm, if these values were constantly taught to them, there are these traditions that they have adopted and they've become part and parcel of their life.
Mm.
Even when they are in a distant place,
mm,
they will still be able to demonstrate those values.
Yes.
A practical example is the case of Daniel and his colleagues.
Ooh,
in
yes.
Daniel chapter 1. Yes, we see that even when they are in a foreign land, when their geographical location is changed,
mm,
when their names are changed,
hey,
when their clothes are changed, their values remained constant.
Amen.
When they are served with food from the king's table, with the delicacies that were part of the king's table, with the wine that the king drank, they were still able to say, this is not the right food that we should eat. This is not the right drink that we should drink. And that was basically influenced because of the early training that they had received, the family traditions that they were exposed to at a tender age.
Mm-hmm.
And that was deep-rooted in their behavior to the extent that amidst all the changes that took place, there was still a constant, their adherence to the principles of God.
Amen.
So this is how deep-rooted some of these principles can be, and they help to shape things that people experience as they live their lives in a fallen world.
Yes, yes, very true. That's beautiful. And I really like that. I like the idea of the fact that you can instill values in your children, which even when you're not there to supervise, even when you're not there to enforce, they still carry them forward. I think the example of Daniel and his friends is an excellent one, especially when you consider that these were young boys. A lot of times we think of Daniel as the old man who was advising kings and all of that. And we forget that he was a young boy. He and his friends were young boys when they were first taken, when they first went into exile. So that's a beautiful, beautiful example. Thank you for that. And also the idea of the adaptability in terms of how to apply principles without necessarily changing the principles, I think is an important one. I feel like there's usually a lot of resistance to change, resistance mm-hmm. to any kind
That's
of innovation,
true.
Because there's a fear mm-hmm. of losing the principle. There's always that fear. So I think it's an interesting way to look at it, that no, the principle can still remain the same. It's still, you know, it's still a family gathering, even if we're not in the same place. It's still it's still a Bible, even though it's a soft copy, you know, and those while there might be benefits to using a hard copy versus a soft copy, that's all well and good. But, you know, at the end of the day, if this is the way to carry on this family tradition, then I think that that's a good way to look at it. As we're coming to the end of this conversation, my elder, what are some ways to involve children in creating new traditions that reflect Christian values? So we might have our own traditions that we've carried from generation to generation. How do we allow the children to also take part and maybe create their own traditions?
Okay, that's a very good question. So like we have rightly, the world is dynamic. Things are changing. As people go to different places, there's exposure that they get. There are things that they now bring on board and the like, which is actually good as well, as long as it does not contradict the teachings of Scripture.
Right.
So, number one, just like people can involve their children in coming up with a family budget, when it comes to programming for programs that enhance family traditions, children can be involved in the planning. So the planning must not just be left to parents or guardians, but children can be involved in planning. So, for example, you can engage children to say, okay, this coming week, this is the book, for example, the book of Proverbs that we'll be focusing on. So what do you think are some of the chapters we can look at, or some of the verses we can look at? Then who among you can be able to give us a sharing concerning what they've understood from the verse that they were actually reading and the like? Then are there other counter suggestions that you have on how best we can do a program? So as they chip in and share their thoughts and contribute towards the discussion that is taking place, they feel part and parcel of the program. And that also develops a certain sense of responsibility on their part and accountability, because if I'm part and parcel of this program, then I need to make sure that the program is a success as well. I won't just leave it to my parents for them to be able to carry it out and make sure that it is successful. No. I need to make sure that I'm part and parcel of this particular program. So children must be fully involved. So they must not only be fully involved when it comes to participating in household chores or in preparing meals, but when it comes to programming of such kind of programs like family worship, when are doing some walks, or even maybe if you're doing nature walks and the like, suggest what do you think is the best place that we can go to? What are some of the activities that you can that you think we can do as we reflect on God's creation and the like, so they can be fully engaged, so that they feel part and parcel of the program.
Beautiful. Any final words as we wrap up our conversation for today with regard to the importance of these family values and, you know, how they shape the identity of the family, how they reinforce our values? How can we use those to the best of our abilities for the benefit of our families?
Okay, thank you so much. The importance of family traditions and values cannot be overemphasized. They definitely shape and influence our faith in our practice. However, great caution must be taken that the traditions that we adopt must not contradict the general tenets, principles, values, and basically the truths of the Bible. So as Christians, what is the foundation, what we compare our faith and practice to? The standard of righteousness is none less and none other than the truth that is set forth in Scripture. And the truth that is set forth in Scripture can be seen in its true light and value in the sacrifice that Christ has made for us. So in other words, Christ must be the center of everything that we do. So in what we drink, we must glorify Christ. In what we do, we must glorify Christ. In what we say, we must glorify Christ. And as we do that, as we reflect the image of Christ, then we'll be a blessing to humanity. Because wherever God will allow us to be placed, will definitely reflect the loveliness of his character, and many will come to know of the God whom we love and the God whom we serve, and will be a positive impact and influence to humanity.
Amen. Amen. Beautiful. Thank you so much for a wonderful conversation, my elder. It's a beautiful way to begin our show, and God bless you. Have a wonderful Sabbath ahead.
Thank you. Thank you so much. And kind regards to the family at SID Media and the family world over. May God bless us. May He continue to give us the health, the life that we deserve. And may we continue to impact others for good. And may we overcome evil with good.
Amen. Amen. Beautiful words. Thank you so much, my elder. God bless you.
Okay. Thank you so much. God bless.
Okay. You are tuned in to Mid-Morning Empowerment here on Adventist World Radio, powered by SID Media.